Welcome to Paul Don Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Mark Adams. He's a senior vice president at CUI. They're a leading power supply manufacturer, both at the board level and external power supplies. But today, we're going to talk about digital. Isn't that right, Mark?
Absolutely. One of our favorite topics.
There you go. Well, digital is actually a very interesting situation because it's been around in some ways for a very long time, and in other ways, it's brand new, right?
Yeah, you know, my background, I've been selling digital power for 8 years now, and I've seen a tremendous evolution in the industry. From the idea concept to the actual implementation at many of the Tier 1 customers out there today.
Now, Mark, do you see the current phase as digital is finally moving into, which it is, but I mean, which is the bigger aspect to you, that digital is moving now into new spaces or it's maturing in the spaces that it first started to deploy in?
You know, I think it's more about maturing in the current space that it serves. Today, the market is really driven by the datacom telecom market for the digital power point of view. You know, there's so many other customers outside of that that could take advantage of it, but the market in general hasn't found a way to take it outside of the current space. And that's something at CUI that we're really working on and trying to make it accessible to others because the datacom space has realized the benefits of it and the multi-level benefits, but there's so many other customers that could take advantage of it.
So it's almost a double pronged fork, as it were. You really do have to go into the matured spaces, but there are so many new spaces that could benefit from the functionalities digital offers.
Yeah, I think that in general, the market has been a little bit of its own worst enemy. You know, it has so many values, and it's a little bit of the, you know, everything plus the kitchen sink concept, but there's a lot of customers out there that don't need the kitchen sink. They just need a couple of the benefits, and it would be extremely advantageous to their system, to the things that they're trying to achieve. So you don't have to implement every single feature in order to see the value. One or two features, whether it's a transient response or voltage accuracy or auto compensation for quicker time to market, I mean, there's so many values that can be had in the aspect of digital power, rather than having to try to implement everything to see the value.
Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm an engineer out there in the space working. What do you feel are the biggest challenges in digital power adoption for that engineer?
Today, I think it's the complication of the solution. The controller companies have done really a phenomenal job of coming up with these controllers and advanced algorithms, and they have tools with lots of knobs and buttons to push. And an engineer by nature loves to see a button and a knob and see what happens when they tweak them. I think that they've overcomplicated the solution. The solutions today at the controller level are really focused on the advanced power engineer, the engineer that does nothing but power. They're not spending time designing FPGAs or DSPs, and they're there to tweak every ounce of performance out of a power supply. But you know that. The customer base today, it's really limited in the customers that have those kind of resources. And today, engineers have to wear multiple hats, and they have to design the FPGA, they have to design the DSP, and then they have to figure out how to power it. And digital power can do that for that customer and give them the value and drive there. But what we're trying to do as an industry is we're trying to push the customer to the run stage. And at CUI, we're trying to back that down to the true concept of crawl, walk, run. Because the crawl and walk, I think, is really a forgotten part of the the adaptation of digital power in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm, understood. So, and Mark, tell me a little bit about what CUI is doing specifically for the space. Give you a chance to talk about some of the products that can actually help the engineers with this.
Absolutely. So today, you know, our point of loads are really focused around auto compensation, for example. Auto compensating power supplies and the design aspect of that is very extremely time-consuming and not an easy task by any means for the engineers out there. So first and foremost, all of our point of loads have auto compensation on it. The second aspect of that is we're really driving our GUI, so our graphical user interface, to access that to a single entry, single click concept. So not having to bounce between pages. Almost, you know, you look at today's, you know, 6-year-old, and they can pick up an iPhone and they can navigate through the games without ever being able to read any of the text because it's intuitive to them. And we're really trying to drive to solutions in the software side of it that's intuitive, that makes logical sense, rather than giving all the extra bells and whistles, because it's just not necessary for the majority of the customer base.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving towards that concept. We're also driving towards full system doesn't have to be digital. Maybe there's just one socket on there, a 50-amp socket that's highly sensitive. So we have a series of modules that we've removed the digital bus. So there's not even a digital bus that goes down to the board. We've put it on a header and through a I2C to USB dongle and a header pin. They have full access to the module. They can make all the changes that's necessary, but to the board, it looks like an analog because it doesn't have the digital communication down there. So it removes that fear of having to implement everything, you know, and that's truly down at the crawl stage. You know, take care of your sensitive circuit, take advantage of the algorithms in digital without having to make it look like a digital solution to the board.
Understood. If you don't need that complexity, why add it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Grow into it, right? That's the beauty of the technologies. You can grow into it. You can start at one stage, and it gives you a wonderful path to continue on every design to bring a little bit more of the value proposition into your solution. But you don't have to go all the way to the run stage.
Exactly, because there is a tremendous perception of complexity involving digital power.
And it's not a false perception, right? I mean, because it is there, and that is the problem today, is that it is a complicated solution. And as a module supply company, customers come to a module because they don't have the time or the resources, and they want a proven solution at the module level. And from a digital aspect, they don't want it overcomplicated. The majority of the design is done, so we can remove all of those things from the GUI because we've taken care of it. We've locked that down. Just take care of the key parameters you need to take care of, and we'll take care of everything else on the backside.
Mm-hmm. And so what's this series called, this product series?
So we have three particular series. We have an NDM2P series, which is a full digital based on a PowerVation controller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
An NSM2P, which is the no bus version. And then we have an NDM2Z family, which is based on a Zilker Labs. And, you know, your next question is, why do you deal with more than one controller? And the reason is because there's issues in clean communication between controllers out there. So as we engage with customers, we want to give them a path that they can start at the crawl, they can go to run, and have a full digital ecosystem on their board. But it has to they have to really look at the value proposition of the controller that they're going to grow into, and the way that it works in their roadmap going forward, because it's not as easy as it seems to mix and match controllers even though they all talk PM bus commands, which is an industry standard.
Right, right, right. And I was actually going to ask you about PM bus. So you guys are pretty solid behind PM bus. You don't see any other communications protocols really challenging it.
No, PM bus is the de facto standard. I mean, if you look at many of the tier one companies, if you look at Intel, they support PM bus in their specification. So it is the standard. The problem is that when you peel back the curtain on PM bus, you know, in order to have a PM bus logo on a data sheet, you only have to support one command. So it's a little bit misleading in that. It's also a little bit misleading because there's nothing there that says that the standard is designed to operate over an I2C or SM bus protocol. However, it can operate on a proprietary serial bus, and many of the controller companies are now implementing a proprietary serial bus to have active current sharing. Some of the higher speed necessities of fault management, things like that. So there's nothing in the specification that tells you where you have to communicate with the PM bus. So that's why we roll back to the why do we have more than one controller? Because each controller treats the commands uniquely different than how they implement it, whether it's on a proprietary bus or a industry standard I2C SM bus.
Mm-hmm. On a little bit of a aside from the main thrust of our discussion, do you think that a stronger standards group would help, or is it something that you feel is it's the horses are out of the barn too late to do anything about it?
I think the horses are out of the barn on this one. So, you know, that's the level of responsibility to the power supply companies and the IC companies is make sure that we educate the customer so that the customer base has all the information to make the appropriate decision. I think that there's too much design effort and roadmaps out there because it drives back to the IC level.
Right, exactly.
And, to come back and say, you know, all this IP that you're designing now it needs to be an industry standard. You almost look back to the microcontroller days when the ADC51 was a standard and it was offered by several different customers, companies, and then all of a sudden, you know, Motorola Freescale went in one direction, Microchip went in another, ST, and now there is no industry standard on those now.
Very, very good point, Mark. So, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we closed out the episode?
No, I don't think so. I think that you know, really, what we drive towards the customers and to the engineers is educate yourself before you make a decision. Look at your options. We've compiled a white paper that we'll be releasing soon that really dives into the differences of PM bus and what that means to a customer base and their decision factors. And you know, give us a call. You know, go to our website. At CUI.com, look at the Novum Advanced products, and we're more than happy to, you know, provide information. That's why we're driving towards giving options to the customer. We don't have one just single platform that we drive to the customer base. We drive options, and we think that we by far have the widest portfolio and the best options available out there, whatever customer decides.
Well, you know, thank you, Mark. Well, the thing is that, frankly, as long as you have options and offer support to the community, they're going to come to you and they're going to look at what you got.
That's what we're hoping.
There you go. Well, hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. And I'd also like to thank everyone out there for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't exist as a podcast without an audience. So thank you, everybody out there. Have a great day. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Night.